If a student, a talib ilm, a seeker of knowledge, is given admission to a certain class, then from the beginning of the year, the academic year, a very good understanding, you can say, student has a fikr, a concern from the beginning, from the initiation of the year, that I want to be successful in any way possible. I need to pass eventually. I don't want to fail and I don't want to be unsuccessful. And even then, even though the whole year ahead, it lies ahead, but from the beginning the student has this fikr that I don't want to fail. I don't want to end up being unsuccessful. And sometimes some talib ilms, some students, they have no fikr. They have no worry from the beginning until the final year. And then we see when the result comes out, the results for both is very different. The first person who had fikr, concern from the beginning, from the first point, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, he passes with good numbers and succeeds in his objective. And that individual who had no fikr, no concern, didn't even think what is pass, what is fail, and doesn't care, that person then fails at the end of the year or at the end of the course. And this is what we experience in our lives in this world, that a person who has fikr, concern for a certain matter from the beginning, that person normally succeeds. And our fikr should start from when we came into this world. And we should have this fikr that how do we succeed in this world such that when we depart from this world, we go with success. And those who don't have this fikr, this worry of how do we depart with success, then obviously how will they leave successful from this world? Because fikr, a person with fikr, he physically translates that fikr into physical actions, makes effort, tries to attain success, uses the methods and the resources and the means that Allah Ta'ala has given. But those who don't have no worry, no concern, will do nothing. Will do nothing. Oh, it's okay. This is nothing. I don't have to do anything. So this is a fact that is in front of us, and it's clear and obvious that the results will come out obvious and clear to us. And when a person doesn't have this fikr, or the fikr is reduced or is low, then it becomes a very dangerous time. It becomes a very dangerous generation, you can say, when people don't have fikr or concern. And at that time, people or that person, they become very dangerous. And in the form of a human being, the person could be living the life like an animal who has no fikr, no concern, no worry, no plan for success. And this is the dunya that we are living in, which is in front of us, which is in our sides. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhum, Allah be pleased with him, Allama Suyuti rahimahullah, rahmatullah alayhi, narrated this event in his kitab, in a book that he wrote. That Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu stated, we all know who was Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu, what was his maqam, his status, great personality, great sahabi, great companion. And the whole dunya today sees that where is he laying in rest today and who is he next to? Subhanallah. So, if we see his hal, his situation, his condition, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu said that me, when I pass away, when I die, then don't worry about my coffin or the container that I will lie in, or it should be a good coffin, a good material. No, just if I get a normal piece of cloth, standard, then wrap me into that cloth and then bury me. And if Allah Ta'ala gives khair and goodness, and if Allah Ta'ala gives me the benefit, then Umar's qabr, his grave, should be full of goodness, so much goodness that as far as my sight can go, my grave will expand that far. And if Allah Ta'ala doesn't allow khair and goodness to come, then my grave will be tight. It will be confined, so confined and tight that my ribs will overlap, my bones will overlap, they will squeeze. This was Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu's statement, his style, his method, his thinking, his mentality. And this is what every Muslim and person of faith should think. Success, hey brothers, success can come and go. But true success is after we pass away from this world. If we look into our lives and see that, how much fikr do I have for this success? How much fikr do I have concern for success? If I have fikr and concern, then physically actions will emanate from this fikr and concern. And those actions, we may be doing them, but Allah Ta'ala has told us the style and the mannerism in which to carry out those actions. But very few people are visible today who implement that standard. And what we need to see is that the actions that lead to success, the amal, the deeds today are very few and far between in society that lead to success. If those deeds are few and far between, then we have a very serious situation in front of us. That's we have to accept and look at. There are amal, people, human beings are implementing those amal, but those amal go to waste if we don't have attached to our deeds the condition and the standard that Allah Ta'ala has laid out. And this point that I'm mentioning now, we have a force that is always pushing against us. Aduwwun mubeen, our force, the force is Shaytan, the cursed devil. Allah Ta'ala gave strength to Shaytan. Allah Ta'ala gave the open permission to Shaytan. Shaytan sought permission open from Allah that I will not leave these human beings alone. Allah, I need you to give me the power to affect them. So in reality, that if we or somebody desires success in thereafter, then that individual, we, us, should be alert to our enemy Shaytan. And if I'm alert to Shaytan, then I am doing the right things, because Shaytan has big tools, resources to his disposal, big abids and worshippers and zahid. He takes them off track within seconds. Within seconds he destroys the correct path that a person is following. His ibadat, his worship, it goes to waste. And many events we have seen, we have heard, that have taken place. So Shaytan, his link with us is so strong and so impactful. Allah Ta'ala says that he is your open enemy, and I have given him the open playing field to do his works in. And he can affect people. He goes into the veins of people. He sits on the heart. He injects waswasa, whispers into the ears and the heart of people. He controls the actions of people, allow him to. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran that this Shaytan, the cursed Shaytan, he comes to the human being and whispers to the human being and injects thoughts into the human being. Whispers and thoughts. These wasawis and waswasa that he injects, that he creates, these thoughts that he creates, he continues to inject the thoughts into people's minds, into their brains. And if a person's very upset, he'll think that, oh, I want to do this, I feel like doing this, I feel like doing sin, I feel like, why is it that I'm distressed? Continue. And he takes the person to the maqam where he carries out that sinful action. And Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that this is Shaytan's style, that when these conditions come in front of you where Shaytan is influencing you, then the Quran gives the cure. And this is a normal scenario with us. The normal scenario. This is how Shaytan influences a person, and he injects the concept of sin into a person's mind and heart. And such sins a person carries out and implements, that if he thinks that, how did I implement this sin? How did I carry out this action? How did I become like an animal? Yaar, how did this occur? How did this happen? How did I do this? And about that sin, he can't even think that, how did I murder a person? How did I implement this sinful action? How did I do this wrong action? Why? Because that insan, that human being, is captured mentally by Shaytan, the mindset. Allah Ta'ala says that this is Shaytan, the position of a person. When it becomes like this, then there are two types of people that result. Those people who are carrying out Shaytan's influence and orders and advice, they are stuck. And every action can be carried out by a human being if he follows the instruction of Shaytan. But at the end of the verse, Allah Ta'ala gives the cure. That's why I say that very few people today are doing those actions through which they can, or we can, attain success. Very few people. Allah Ta'ala says, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Allah mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah Ta'ala says, when a person is surrounded with such a situation that waswas of shaitan increases, he's going to sin more, desires to do sin more, and has the interest for sin to do more sin, then insan, if he's doing this and he's afraid and scared, what shall I do? And he's fearful. At that time when his condition is negative and it's in a worse position than it was before, then Allah Ta'ala says, first and foremost, the step, the solution you need to go towards is what? Nazun fasta'idh billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that seek refuge and protection from me. Do you understand? What should we do? What should a person do? Seek refuge, protection from Allah. This is the best cure. Allah mentions. And how the verses, innahu sami'un alim. Allah has given the confidence that remember that who are you asking, seeking refuge and protection from? He's not some minor status person. He is sami' and alim. He hears, he's all knowing. He can see. So, at that time, we have to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save me from this situation. I'm about to go. I'm gone. This sin is about to take place. I'm about to fail. Totally don't come into deception. Totally don't. That shaitan says, oh, you're under my control. And the individual says, no, I'm not going to listen to you. Straight away, when shaitan tries to influence you stronger, then ask Allah for refuge. When you're in that position, that you're totally about to do zina. There are many examples like this. Various, that you're in the position physically, you're doing zina, adultery, and the action of zina is about to start. And then a person turns to Allah at that time, Allah Ta'ala says, I save you, even at that stage I can save you, I will save you. Sami'un Alim, Allah says. So this situation where we sit hand on hand and give up and we do sins, what can I do, this and that has occurred. This is the reason, because we don't do those actions that Allah Ta'ala has told us to. Totally is right that shaitan does drag us towards sins. He does, and we commit big sins. But those sins should not occur. When a person thinks about sin, he's got the desire, the interest and the attraction, he's about to do sin, then just do one action. What? The Allah save me. Fasta'id billah. So when his yaqeen, Allah Ta'ala gives yaqeen that I am sami'an alim, I know everything, how to take you out of this problem, how to save you. Because shaitan, Allah says, I gave shaitan the chance, and see how I'll take you out of the problem and purify you. So do you understand what I'm saying? What the situation is? But insan becomes so lazy, bone idle with regards to the sin that he forgets Allah. He forgets his Rabb. And this is the success of shaitan. At that time, if a person remembers Allah, even in a bad situation, Allah Ta'ala says, I will save you. Now, the question arises within this verse. The Mufassirin, the commentators have written that these points I mentioned to you. I'm not giving this commentary or translation. This is the Mufassirin, the pious elders. They have given us, they shed light on the meaning of this verse. Now, the point that Allah Ta'ala has made in this verse, that seek refuge from me, seek protection. What is this protection? How do we seek refuge? How do we ask Allah for help? How? What? This is the question that now arises, isn't it? Physically, what do we do? And in this verse further, Allah Ta'ala advises that if you seek refuge, what is it you should do? How do you seek refuge in me from, ask for my help? How will I protect you and save you from the sins? For this, a person, Allah Ta'ala says, should do the people of understanding who understand what I'm saying. Allah Ta'ala says, what do those people do? Those people who are committing sins, but they've understood my message, that Allah is there to help. Allah Ta'ala has then given the solution in the Quran. Shaitan attacks you, he influences you, he whispers to you, I'm about to go, I'm about to slip, I'm about to fall. And great abideen and zahideen. Not just like normal folk, no, that a pious person can't sin. No, shaitan does not differentiate. He openly attacks everyone in his sight. He will not let a person sit back, whether from the life to the grave. Even a few seconds before a person dies, shaitan attacks that person to try to win over that person. Because he's a trickster. He's a fraudster. And he's cunning. But if we, again, as I said, follow the direction method that Allah Ta'ala has given, if we utilize it, then shaitan is nothing with the fadl wala, nothing. Shaitan has no strength. Shaitan has no power. Shaitan cannot influence. And what is that method we have to adopt? What is that practice that we need to implement? This is Quran. It's advising us the haq, the truth. Tadhakkaru. That those people of understanding who understood the message of Allah, what do they do? Tadhakkaru. They start doing the dhikr of Allah. They start remembering Allah. Allahu Akbar. فَإِذَهُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. Allah says, when they do my dhikr, then their eyes open up wide physically. Allah says that their eyes open up physically. That same sin through which they were gaining enjoyment. And they were casually passing the time and immersed in sin. But when? What does that person do? Seeks refuge, protection from Allah. Allah Ta'ala said, not just simple, oh Allah, help me. Allah says, do this action, start doing the dhikr of Allah, remember me. Allah Ta'ala says, then his eyes will suddenly open. Oh, he'll say, oh, what's happening here? What am I doing? Run away from here, run away from here. What mistake have I made? فَإِذَا مُبْصِرُونَ, Allah says. So what we realize here is that today those people, the youngsters, people, elder, youngsters, girls, boys, everyone, mother, father, parents, the environment today spoiled. The reason for this is what? That we have left the cure that the Quran has given. Otherwise, how can shaitan dare? Shaitan is nothing. Shaitan is weak. So Allah Ta'ala is mentioned in the Quran further. That those individuals who don't listen to my advice here, which we don't nowadays listen, then Allah says, they're very clearly, Allah Ta'ala says that these people are what? What is the result of their negligence? That those people who don't listen to my words and advice, what I'm saying in the Quran, then Allah says, what happens then? Is then shaitan drags those people, pulls on those people, and those people then become totally useless. Shaitan drags them, pulls them. Allah Ta'ala then continues to say, after that, those people cannot turn back towards the goodness. There's nobody to save them from the sin after that. Nobody to save them. So nasiha, please give me nasiha. What shall I do? Oh, please send me here, send me there. Can I do this and that? There is nothing that can assist. There's no method, my friends. I tell you the truth. You can put Quran on their heads, and you can tell them to go around the Kaaba and Umrah and Hajj. They will come back and do the same actions. See, is this not in our ma'ashara, in our society? That we say, okay, fine, you're doing this and that. But after that, what will occur? Then they will come back and do the same sin. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the cure in the Quran, that get shaitan under control. Put shaitan under control. If you don't do that, Allah Ta'ala says, then you will slip again. Then shaitan will drag on you again. He will pull on you again, and he'll pull you back towards the sins. Allah Ta'ala says, then you cannot come back to the right path. It's very difficult then to save yourself from shaitan. So we see how important is the dhikr of Allah, this action of the dhikr of Allah, remembering Allah. So do we understand now the importance of dhikr or not, my friends? This little bit of fact that I presented to you is not a speech. It's just today I was reading this verse and it came to my mind. I said, oh, this is a very great message Allah Ta'ala is giving. With the fadl of Allah. Today, as I was reading this, then this verse came to my mind. And I thought that I'll sit down with my colleagues and friends, that dhikr is very important. Sometimes a person attains something, he starts to practice that action, but he doesn't understand the importance of the action. Listen to this carefully. That's why we have to keep on repeating and revising the importance of the action. It's very important. Don't leave dhikr for minor things in the world. Rather, consider dhikr as a great treasure. Allah Ta'ala, in this day and age, in this dunya, has given us a massive reward. Massive reward. Morning and evening, the dhikr that we get, subhanAllah. I remember my Hazrat's words, he wrote in a letter, and Hazrat said that, read this letter out to your colleagues. Hazrat said this, and in the end Hazrat said this, that tell your friends, it's written, that listen carefully to what I'm saying, that the dhikr of Allah is a great ni'mah. Great ni'mah. These were the words. Listen to me carefully, Hazrat Arif Billah, my Shaykh, Ramadan is addressing the whole world, that tell everyone this clearly. That the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah is a massive gift and reward. Your whole life comes under control. Your hereafter is looked after. Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam become happy with you, and your heart will become full of nur and light. SubhanAllah. This is the message of a great Arif Billah Sheikh, my Sheikh, and he sent this message to the Western Hemisphere, to the Western world via myself. So we can read this verse of the Quran. It's clear, given the same message. This is the whole Quran. The Hazrat mentioned the meaning of the Quran, didn't he? SubhanAllah. So we see this. It's a fact. But this is not an excuse. Oh, I feel like doing dhikr today. I don't want to do dhikr tomorrow. This has no link with our lives. This is such a protection for us that will save us from Jahannam, the adab of the qabr, the punishment of the grave. And we see today the effects that... Can I see the effect of dhikr? We have no link with this. If the doctor says you have to take this tablet, then we take that tablet, that medicine. Isn't it? We're not looking for some physical proof. Allah Ta'ala has given us a cure, a solution. And so clearly Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this whole verse to us. Allah Ta'ala has explained to us that if you don't do dhikr, this will emanate, this will result. If you don't do dhikr, this will be the loss. If you leave dhikr, this will be the loss. And if a person does dhikr, he will get this gain and this benefit. And on top of that, Allah Ta'ala has given us the guidance and the shadow and the guidance and the direction from the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah. Understand the point I'm making to you in the Quran. In no way should you consider dhikr as a minor action, as an unnecessary action. The thawab is there. The reward is there, that's fine. But we don't do this for thawab. We don't do dhikr for thawab. We have no desire for thawab reward. All we want is that Allah, we want to leave this world successful. We want to pass, and that's number one. Number two, those amal that Allah Ta'ala is making us do. Shaitan is in those actions. That shaitan comes into our salah, shaitan comes into our Quran recitation, shaitan comes into our sadaqat, shaitan comes into hajj and umrah. There's no place where shaitan is not involved. The Quran tells us this. Shaitan influences. That he will drag you, pull on you. He'll pull on you to influence you, to spoil you. And he becomes involved, included in all your deeds. He doesn't leave you. Khalis pure, there's wahid, one action, Allah Ta'ala says, one solution. That when you realize that, shaitan is trying to destroy me, my salah, my prayer, my ibadah, tadhakkaru, Allah says, remember me, do my dhikr. And so this is not a small action then, is it? It's a big action, dhikr of Allah, big reward, Allah's karam, mercy, that we don't even know the importance of the dhikr of Allah. Even then we're doing the dhikr of Allah, alhamdulillah. Despite not knowing the importance of my brothers, my friends, have appreciation for dhikr. Very fast time is passing, it passes. In every day we see two janazas, two funerals taking place in a day, not just one. And our own go, our family go, strangers go. We know that this is going to occur, it's a reality. So at least, with this niyyah, with this intention that Allah, we are weak, shaitan is strong, he's got power, he's got the method and the knowledge. So Allah, we want your protection, your help. In that home, in that society, in that place, dhikr, if it reaches there, subhanallah. In that home where dhikr of Allah has reached, that house becomes noor, becomes light. It's a hadith. Blessings. That where the inhabitants of the heavens see dhikr of Allah occurring on the earth, where the dhikr of Allah takes place on the earth, the inhabitants of the heavens, the skies, the angels, they see the illumination. Just like we see the moon from the earth. We see, oh, it's beautiful, the moon on the 14th night, and there's a night time, the clouds have disappeared, it's the moon on the 14th night, full moon, beautiful from the earth. We look up, we see the beautiful moon, and the beautiful stars, and the glow. Isn't it? In the same way, in the heavens, the angels, the inhabitants of the heavens, alhamdulillah, they look out on the earth, and they see sins dispersed. And when they see the house, that dhikr of Allah is happening in the house, they see that house like a moon, shining moon from the skies. This is hadith. Subhanallah. And how does a person save himself from shaitan? This is also hadith. Allah Ta'ala has given the example in the Quran. Allah's Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave the example. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, Allah stated clearly that through wahi, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam through his blessed statement gave the commentary, and this is called hadith. His blessed statement that if the enemy is running after you and he wants to harm you, attack you, and you're running away from the enemy, and then he is very close to you, he's about to grab you, the enemy, the person who doesn't like you, how will you be under pressure at that time? And then, for example, the enemy is running after you, he's got a weapon, he's running after you, you're running, he's running, how far can you run? You get tired, eventually he'll grab you, then he'll harm you, attack you, then that you're running away. Suddenly you see a fort, a castle, you run into that fort and hide, and the enemy is outside, he's trapped, he cannot get inside, it's a fortified place. And that castle, that fort is the dhikr of Allah, the similitude. So when a person is surrounded by sins, I can't save myself, how do I save myself? I don't understand, sins are, the Imam Sahib was saying, Maulana Sahib was saying a bit earlier, if you do this sin, it's a sin, if you do this action, it's a sin, looking at these pictures or listening to the instruments, etc. I know that this is salah, leaving salah, or doing modest actions, or doing certain sins. And in my home, house, the children doing it, father's doing it, husband's doing it, mother's doing it, everyone is carrying out the sins, and it's just carrying on day by day. So at that time, that house becomes dark and evil and full of its lack of blessing, no blessings, Allah Ta'ala's la'na and curse comes. Then when a person sees this, but when, for example, don't do this action, this has no effect.
Allah Ta'ala says that I've told these people that they cannot come back to the right path because they followed the advice of shaitan. Allah says that some people, they just cannot correct themselves. But there's only one action, that you do dhikr yourself and make sure dhikr is happening in your home. Quran is telling us this. Today, if we want to be saved, we want to correct our children, if we want to correct our children, our offspring, if we want to save ourselves and correct ourselves, save our children, our families, how do we do it? How do we get protection from Allah's adab, Allah's ghadab, Allah's punishment, Allah's displeasure? From lack of blessings, no barakah, no blessings. Then there's only one wahid method. The Quran tells us, what is that? Say it loudly. Allah's dhikr, the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. That's it. Don't do anything, just make the dhikr of Allah come to your homes. Just like we do dhikr, then bring dhikr into your homes. First thing is that shaitan, for example, all the jinnat and shaitan will run away from your home, from your families, due to the blessings of the dhikr of Allah. And another point here, the heart, when it's hard, shaitan comes in and it's difficult. When a person has a hard heart, it's difficult to bring that person towards dhikr. He'll listen to everything, but as soon as you say do dhikr, the current will find that person. Well, shaitan's within, he doesn't want him to do dhikr. But when Allah Ta'ala says that person does dhikr, tadhikkaru, and his eyes open wide and the shutters are removed, then he says, Allah, I was doing this, I was carrying out this sin, I used to go off track. When that person then sees that and realizes, then he sees the kalam of Allah, then his eyes open so vividly and clearly, so wide do they open that he sees everything vividly and clearly, that Allah used to do this sin. He leaves those paths of evil and says, Allah used to do this action. Oh, I used to wander around with these girls here, with these women here. And if a girl is doing a sin and Allah Ta'ala opens her eyes wide, she says, oh, with this many boys I used to wander around, I was a Muslim and I used to do this. No. This is common nowadays, isn't it? In universities and institutes, 5, 6 boyfriends, and it all happens, it all goes. But when the eyes open wide, then she trembles and shakes, Alhamdulillah. What a beautiful point here, that today, if we look at somebody who is immersed in sin, a girl or a boy or a man or a woman, immersed in sin, 4 or 5 boyfriends or 3 boyfriends, and the boy has 3, 4 girlfriends, then, and we see them doing this, then keep one point in mind and keep this vividly and clear in your mind. That don't think that person cannot be saved. Allah Ta'ala says that don't dislike that person, don't hate that person. Maybe right now, Allah Ta'ala says that that person can still go into the company of a good person if the wali of Allah's sight comes into that person, and suddenly that person does tawbah and will become pak and pure. And maybe tomorrow I will not realize where my iman is, and that person going to Jannah and I am going somewhere else. Allah's karam and mercy is waiting. Allah says there's no, future 100% for clear that this person cannot be saved. So the person who's got 10, 15 friends, boyfriends, or man has 10, 15, whatever the number is, obviously it's bad, apparently, but a person should never lose hope that I cannot be saved or forgiven. Because if that person attains the dhikr of Allah, or if that person starts to do tawbah, or does tawbah, repentance, today in this day of age, there's no wali of Allah who has not committed this sin. I say to you this, the truth. The greatest walis, they have this in their history. That Allah Ta'ala said, through these sins I took them out of the actions of sin and I made them ghawth and kutub. So that's it, the point we need to understand. That when a person gets in his destiny tawbah, a person's drowning in the sea, suddenly the boat comes to light and is seen, the person grabs hold of it and pulls himself out of the water. So when a person gets the boat of tawbah, he comes out of the drowning of the sins. A person who's done zina, how many friends they have, they all disappear, finished, gone. Because Allah Ta'ala says, you've done tawbah, all finished, subhanAllah. Everything's finished, forget the past, forget those places where you sinned. You should dislike what you did. Obviously the actions you did, you'll be shocked and surprised. I did these actions because where I used to have enjoyment, and I used to like doing the sin. When you say, oh, leave it, then the person, you'll have to fight. You say, why are you telling me to do these sins? Are you mad? And he's laughing. At that time when a person was sinning, he'd laugh at that. Why are they telling me not to do this? But now when someone will encourage you after tawbah to do this, and you say, please, for the sake of Allah, don't tell me. Not to me. Today, that, for example, when a person is sinning, and others say to him, why are you doing these actions? Leave the sin, etc. But he doesn't understand. Why? Tadhikr wa Allah has promised that, remember me, you do the dhikr of Allah, and I will expand your heart to embrace all of the goodness. So this is the dhikr of Allah and the effect of the dhikr of Allah, my friends. So we need to create this fikr. and this worry. You should do dhikr yourself, tell your friends, colleagues, associates, and mashallah, this ocean is flowing free of charge. Allah Ta'ala's Noor, the river is flowing. So share this. If this is not tabligh to save people from sin, what all this is if it's not the tabligh place? How many people did you give da'wah to? How many people did you give? Allah Ta'ala says, your job. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, what was he told? Allah Ta'ala said, why are you worried that you're in the jungle, there's no one here? It's your job to explain, and it's my job to turn the people's hearts. And today there's no place in the Kaaba to do sajda. There's so many hundreds of thousands of people. So our job is to give da'wah, to explain, to propagate. We should look at their sins, person standing in a bad position, bad situation, and or there's a woman or a man sinning. No, just give invitation. Come to dhikr, sit down, listen to Hazrat's words, and bring yourself out of trouble. Do this, isn't it? Invite people to the good. I swear by Allah, if that person doesn't change, then say to me afterwards, what happened here? Because we'll be asked tomorrow that we've got the plate of halwa in front of us and we just keep on eating and not benefiting other people. There's no benefit here. When we understand that this halwa is tasty and nice and there are almonds in it and pistachio and nice butter and you're enjoying eating this, then give invitation to others. Come and eat this halwa. Come and you come as well. Come, invite people. And if you realize that a certain person, if you give them da'wah and you invite a person to dhikr and that person comes, if you realize that the reward, what will be the reward for this in the hereafter, then you will consider this effort as a minor, because you have saved a person's life. And how many people after that will come to dhikr due to that person? And I'm seeing this. See, this one person comes, he says, I want to learn dhikr, he comes to me. I say, yes, fine. And he's totally, you can say, hollow, like a box. And today you see that person, I'm surprised when I see that person. The people are proud of that person. They're envious. Is this that person? And people say, he says that people in the world are envious of me. That me, what I was about to say, are you that same person? Is it? Is that you? Is this the man from your Jamaat? I won't tell you the name. And when they saw him, they said that as soon as that person said, is this you? You were like this before, amazing, it doesn't look like you used to do these sins and now you're good. So he cannot even realize, and they, mashallah, consider that him, he's good now, and he says, no, I'm not even good enough, I'm still a waster. So Allah Ta'ala says that when a person does tawbah, does my dhikr, then the eyes open wide. They open, don't they? They open up very wide. These are the examples, many examples around us. So brothers, if we want to improve our society, our homes, first do your home. If you want to improve your home, your society first, you should appreciate yourself. What is the dhikr of Allah? And for example, we give up dhikr. Oh, today I won't do tasbih. Oh, I won't do dhikr today. Oh, today I won't do this. Then that person's taking loss in his own hands. So when, first and foremost, have importance and for dhikr yourself, that how much a great reward Allah Ta'ala has given to me, us, that Allah knows best. If we weren't doing dhikr, then we would be destroyed. We would be totally caught out by shaitan. Where would we be today? That who we thought was God, they were idols. Where we used to go, oh, maybe this is deen, this is the peer sahab, and these are people of deen, is great majlis here, etc. Let's go haram sharif, etc. and do this and that. But there were idols in the world that were preventing us from doing the right thing, leaving sins. We didn't know what is the love of the Prophet ﷺ, what was following his way. We thought that other actions that we were doing, following our desires, these were idols in fact. That we used to give up everything for the sake of following our nafs. I am deen dar, I am religious, and we used to go on certain specific days and practice, and we thought that we were the most pious of all. But when we did dhikr of Allah, our eyes opened wide. We said, subhanAllah, this is deen. This is the real deen. Subhanallah. So we ourselves have to do dhikr, and we have to do what? Invite others as well to dhikr. And this, consider this as da'wah. Not that you're favoring me, you're not favoring Allah. No. Rather, this is such a great work of deen that you're doing this for your benefit, for your hereafter, that when you pass away, that person will be doing dhikr and your qabr will be filled with noor and light. Subhanallah. Even if it's your son, even if it's your daughter. Not this that you have to go out and do tabligh outside. No, tabligh starts from home, and the tabligh at home is the great tabligh. We need to, if we've improved our mother, our sister, make effort on your sister. Come on, come to dhikr, and keep on taking the bad feedback, give gifts and hadiyah, make a target. A man should make a target. This is tabligh. This is also tabligh, a great way, a method of doing tabligh. One is gender. For example, in our society we have jamaats and we have people who come to do tabligh. But this is not just the way. Rather, individuals individually do tabligh. That is also necessary, and that's a part of tabligh. That's a part of the week. So make a target. I want to try to influence this person, improve. I've made a target. Alhamdulillah, it's been a year and a half that I've been doing this work in this masjid, mashallah. And first, when people used to see me, somebody used to swear at me 3, 4, 5 times. When he said that, I said, fine. Then I used to shake his hand. I said, this is my target. I want him to have love for dhikr in his heart. Because when the love of dhikr comes into the person's heart, then he starts to love the person who does dhikr. I tell you this fact. People say, oh, picking up the shoes of the friend of Allah. They don't realize he's not picking up the shoe for this reason, that he's worshipping that person. Rather, Allah Ta'ala has instilled into the heart of that dhakir the love for the wali of Allah, that he wants to just keep on sitting down in the company of the wali of Allah. He wants to touch his clothes, kiss his clothes. I used to, when Hazrat used to go to pray salah, and where Hazrat used to stand on his prayer mat, I used to kiss that position, that place. Subhanallah. Somebody, if they saw this, that one person came, reaches to the heights with love. What is the love? Allah Ta'ala says that when I allow a person's eyes to open, then that person realizes that the dhikr of Allah is such a great action, that he starts to love the wali of Allah, then how much will he love Allah who has given the dhikr? Imagine. So this is tabligh, this is a tool. It's a great tool and resource Allah Ta'ala has given to us, that the more the heart is hard, make a target to bring that person to deen with love, muhabbat, chai, tea, take the bad feedback, negative feedback, do service of that person, serve that person. That person came quite close to me, mashallah, and now he's become so close to me that I can give that person dawat in a few days' time, invitation. That person was so severely against me, he was my target, severely against me. And then when I came, he criticized me first and foremost. And I thought, oh, this is my brother. And he doesn't know the importance of dhikr. His eyes haven't opened up yet. So the Quran says this, that the person who does dhikr, then Allah says, I will teach that person, the eyes will open up with the fadl of Allah. And you should do dua for that person, and I should do dua, that he will become a great reward for my hereafter. Nobody knows who that person is, and nobody knows what the target is. I have no link with that person for dunya. What do we have as a link? But I want to make my akhirah, my hereafter. That's a great thing I'm given, upon which all of the favors of Allah Ta'ala, of the dhikr of Allah on this, and all of the effect of ibadah depend on what? The dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah. So if we do dhikr, then ibadah will be accepted. If we do dhikr, then there will be sincerity in our deeds. If we do dhikr, then Allah will like that action. If we do dhikr, then there will be no shaitan in the ibadah. That's why Hazrat gave a big guarantee. That your dunya will be looked after, your hereafter will be looked after, Allah will be pleased, Allah's Rasul will be pleased, and your heart will be full of nur. What a great guarantees that we are getting, one after the other. So, have attachment with the wali of Allah, learn dhikr from that person, and do that dhikr morning and evening, and have appreciation that I've just presented this great verse to you. After reading this verse, I closed the Quran, I started to think that subhanallah, that we don't know that what rewards we've attained. So many du'as I gave to Hazrat Sahib, so many du'as I gave to Hazrat Sahib, the amount I could get, I was crying. I said, Allah, that Allah, please bestow your special blessings onto Hazrat and his children, his family. That's such karam and mercy Hazrat has given to us. Such a great mercy. No favor, no nothing he gave to us, nothing we have to give to him. No transaction, that he taught us the dhikr of Allah, we became the dhakirs. And we have now the resource, the tool to fight off shaitan always. So 2-3 things we need to understand and summarize. Remember, whenever a person is being overwhelmed by sin, or sins are motivating, what is that? Understand straight away, what is that? The force of shaitan. Shaitan's working on a person. Straight away understand that. It's not a girl who's calling you. It's not the sin that's calling you. It's not the music that is attracting you. It's not this. In the night, the people are carrying out sinful actions. It's not that. What is this? What is happening? Is shaitan. As soon as you control shaitan, you'll start to hate the actions of shaitan. You'll say it's a waste. Tell us, what do we need to do at that time? First, billah. Allah Ta'ala says, they seek refuge from me. Protection. How do we seek protection? Allah says in the Quran, how? Say loudly. Do the dhikr of Allah. Tadhakkaru. Tadhakkaru. Allah says, as soon as you do dhikr of Allah, the people of understanding and caution with taqwa, Allah says, the akal has come to those people. Then straight away they pick up the tasbih. They do Allah, 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 Allah. They start doing dhikr for half an hour. They do this, shaitan will disappear, sins will disappear, bad feelings will disappear, depression will disappear, everything will disappear. So these two, three things that we've learned from today, alhamdulillah, the words that we've discussed is the cure after that, is that everyone we know or we don't know, we should give invitation. First and foremost, it doesn't matter if a person's a gangster or a sinful, 10 boyfriends, 10 girlfriends he's got, she's got, go with love and say, please come to dhikr. And give invitation of dhikr. I'm not inviting you to the world or dunya. Just come to the dhikr of Allah and you will improve. Then see how Allah Ta'ala's benefit comes to that person. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq ability. Ameen.